Our first guest this evening, one of us, had an outstanding high school basketball career, former Mr. Basketball here in the state of Minnesota, went to Benilde St. Margaret's. Then he played at the University of Wisconsin, had an outstanding career there, and now he's doing big things, doing phenomenal work on the Big Ten Network as one of their analysts. Joining us here, courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline, traveling, trying to get back to Minnesota, is Jordan Taylor. Hey, Jordan, thanks for giving me some time, man. Hey, you're stuck at the airport right now.
Yeah. It's apparently a snowstorm. It just started snowing 5 minutes ago. But, yeah, I mean, I'm in a lounge, so if I sound quiet, let me know. But, yeah, just trying to get back to the city, man.
No, you sound great. Let me start here. Now you're doing analyst work for the Big Ten Network. What's that been like for you, man? Because I know that we enjoy talking on the radio, and I'm sure that you love talking about basketball, playing basketball. What's it been like to do the media thing now?
Well, first, I'd like to say thanks for the intro, man. That was a great intro. I appreciate it. But, yeah, doing the media thing, too, is great. I mean, I run my mouth. A lot of my friends, my family, my parents definitely will tell you I run my mouth all day anyway. So now I get just paid a little money to do it and talk basketball. And it's been dope. It's been awesome to get back and ingratiating the college basketball. And then the collection of talent in the Big Ten right now is really fun to watch.
And to actually talk about a conference that you played in, too, that has to be quite enjoyable for you as well.
Yeah. Like I said, the Big Ten is different. You know, I was built like a Ninja Turtle. Now you got point centers in there. You got, you know, guys that are, you know, Jacoby Gillespie types that are bucket getters. You got, you know, guys, even Minnesota, I know they're not having the best year, but you got Dawson Garcia, Isaac Osama, Lakai Patterson. Like, you just got a bunch of different type of players in there, man. So it's fun to see how the conference has evolved as the game has.
Well, I'm happy to have you here on the show. Let's start with, I want you to get your thoughts on just the Big Ten in general. And what I want to know is, when you look at the Big Ten and how it's expanding even more, and we're adding the West Coast teams in there, the USCs and the UCLAs and all that stuff, whatever, what do you make overall of the conference? I know that it's more teams in there, but do you like the actual depth from a talent perspective of the conference?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I think you get to see different styles in the conference where it becomes more like a pro basketball feel. You know, in Europe, you get Spain against Russian teams or Spain against Serbian teams, and you really get to feel that difference. Last night, you saw, you know, UCLA versus Illinois, and UCLA probably plays more like an old school Midwest team now. But I love it, man. I think it's great. I think the downside to it is you don't get to see those rivalries every year twice, you know, Minnesota-Iowa twice. You know, Purdue, Indiana twice, even though I know they got each other twice this year. So that's the downside of it. Honestly, I think it would be dope to see a larger conference schedule. And obviously, you know, maybe even just more college basketball games if possible. You know, I want to keep the mid-majors in there and the low majors in there. But to get to see these guys kind of maybe a 30-game schedule or 25, whatever it may look like, would be super cool to see a bunch of Titans clash.
Yeah, we're talking to Jordan Taylor from the Big Ten Network, joining us here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. I know that you're a Badger. We get that. We know the Wisconsin love is, but I do want to ask you about the Golden Gophers. You know, Ben Johnson, who I know that you know probably pretty well. I've known Ben for a long, long time. I root for Ben, but clearly the Gopher program is still continuing to struggle. What do you make of the season that they've had to this particular point?
Well, first, before I answer, are we going to get to answer some Badger questions, too? Or?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right, bet. All right, bet. Right. No, but, you know, I think Ben, honestly, he's doing a great job, man. I think, you know, it's not easy. Everybody's a sideline coach now, a Twitter warrior. Nobody's perfect. But, you know, given the situation, you lose guys like Christy, like Pharrell Payne, and Elijah Hawkins, and you reload. And you know, I think a lot of people thought they were going to win two games, and they've gotten up to four now, right? Dawson's been great. Isaac's been really good. Inconsistent at times. He needs to be more aggressive to me. Lakai as well. But to put a team together of you know young men, 18 to 22 years old, who are, you know, in a different environment, different friends, different living quarters, a different city, and to make that happen in a short period of time is really difficult. So, you know, and I, you know, just being around the Big Ten this year, I haven't seen a lot of coaches. Just everybody loves Ben. They all want to see him do well, except for when they're playing against him, of course. And, you know, I think he's done a solid job. And obviously he still has, you know, a lot of room to grow and a lot of areas to grow in. But who doesn't, right?
Yeah. Well, speaking of your Wisconsin Badgers, they're 16th in the country right now with a record of 19-5, fourth in the Big Ten. This is a program that I've respected for a long, long time. You know, going back, you know, Bo Ryan and just, you know, just the great job that they've always done. You know, it's interesting because I remember Big Ten tournament and having a conversation with Trevor Winter, former Gopher whose son Nolan is at Wisconsin right now. And we were talking, and one of the guys that was good for the Badgers previously was A.J. Storr. He leaves and goes to Kansas, isn't really having a good year for the Jayhawks. But when you look at the Wisconsin Badgers and the way they're constructed right now, how far do you think Wisconsin can go, and what do you make of their season to this point?
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, I would actually liken Coach Gard to Ben in the sense that, you know, a couple of years ago, people were, there was fire guard signs on the sides of dorms and stuff like that, and people wanted him out of there. And, you know, Coach Gard is new. He's still a young head coach. You know, he's, I guess, an older gentleman, I guess. Now, I hope you didn't hear me say that, but he's a young head coach in regards to, you know, he was with Coach Ryan for 20-some-odd years, and this is only his eighth year on his own. So he's still learning things, and you get a guy like Kirk Penny in there, Joe Krabenhoff, and their whole coaching staff. Greg Steensville came from the Spurs and really started to help him, you know, find his own style, his own, you know, cadence, his own swag as a head coach. And now you see a revamped Badgers. And, you know, the way they play now, you know, I said on Big Ten, I wish I would have got to play in all those ball screens. And, you know, Coach Ryan hit me up and reminded me that I guess apparently I did play in a lot of ball screens. But, you know, maybe different style. But, you know, both styles are great. The Badgers this year, the way they play, they got three guys who handle the ball, three guys who play ball screens. And I think that's what makes them dangerous, right? They're second in the Big Ten in offense. And you just don't know who it's going to be on any given night. You can't load up. You get a guy like Nolan, quite frankly, hasn't even, you know, come close to putting it together yet. And that's saying a lot because he's still averaging whatever, 8, 9, 10 points. But he's an NBA player when he does put it together. And, you know, just being a part of the Badgers, they talked about finding the next John Luehr. The ghost of John Luehr has lived there for about the last 13, 14 years, and Nolan is really the guy who fits that mold. And then you add in John Blackwell, Tanji, and they can go really far, man. It's untraditional because they don't have a true PG like they typically do, but they do it by committee, and Stephen Crowell is great. Max Klesmit hasn't even really come into his own yet this year, so, and they're guarding better now. So they've got a great mix of Coach Gard and Coach Ryan's old style mixed with, you know, what Kirk has brought, and I think they can make a run.
Why have the Badgers been so damn good at recruiting Minnesota athletes and Minnesota basketball players? I got to ask that question because you go there, and then I always got to give some grief to my guy Cam Taylor. Me and Cam are good friends, and I always reach out to him. Well, why have you guys been so darn good at getting guys to come across the border?
You know what? It's probably the football games. I'm going to be honest with you. I went to Wisconsin. I didn't know what the swing offense was. I barely knew who Bo Ryan was. I didn't know what Platteville was, and I went to a football game. I saw some girls. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, about a week later, I was like, you know what? I want to go there. I'll figure the rest out. So, but other than that, you know, it's something that has to do, obviously, with the winning environment that they built, that Coach Ryan built, took on from Dick Bennett, expanded it. You know, every year there was always a stat that we were, like, top five in wins, you know, in the country behind Kansas, Duke, I think Michigan State at the time. So we went to Sweet 16s, and our strength coach, Scotty Hettenbach, every day used to say, you guys are knocking on the door, you're about to kick it down. And he was really talking about it as a program. And then right after I left, it happened, you know, with Sam and Frank, they went to back-to-back Final Fours. But it's just a culture, man. I have friends. I still talk to John Luehr, Brett Valentine, Mike Bruiser, which Ryan, like, all those guys are still my friends from the years past. And, you know, the environment and culture is really something that's just special that I don't think a lot of guys get in college.
Yeah. Former Badger guard and current Big Ten Network analyst Jordan Taylor joining us here on The Lake Show. News Talk 830 WCCO. A couple of final questions for you. I know this may sound odd, but I'm going to ask it in this way anyway. What's going on and what's wrong with Michigan State Spartans? Now, it sounds crazy saying that because they're 10-3 in the Big Ten. They've had a phenomenal season to this point. But they haven't looked the same the last week and a half. I know that they had the West Coast trip that tripped them up with USC, UCLA, and they just lost to Indiana. But what do you think has kind of changed for them? Why are they a little bit out of sync?
You know, I don't know if they're out of sync. I think they just hit a tough part of their schedule. Like, they were beating teams that, you know, they should have been beaten, and they were beating them handily. I think that's what was so impressive. And now you go to the West Coast. Everybody's got tripped up by the West Coast. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think anybody has gone out there and swept, UCLA and USC. Wisconsin got tripped up out there. So the California teams, they struggled at times, and now they're both playing really well, especially when Desmond Claude is out there. And then last night, I think Indiana kind of gave them a dose of their own medicine. They just no one is really throwing the ball inside like that and beat them up in the paint. Michigan, and then what that did was kind of allow Indiana to get their defense set. It slowed the game down. Michigan State wasn't allowed to get in transition. So, you know, they're a good team. They struggle to score at times. They need Jaden Atkins and Jace Richardson to get going. But, you know, obviously they got a Minnesota kid, Trey Holloman, somebody who's been really good for them at times. You know, I think he had like 9-7 last night. But I think, you know, between him and Jace Richardson, those guys, and Jaden Atkins, if they can get in the paint and find ways to score, and Jeremy Sears, like, they have to find a way to create offense because they're going to be in close games just by the nature of the way they play. They just have to find one of those guys to get buckets. But, you know, like I said, I don't think it's them really being out of sync. I think it's just the schedule.
Yeah. All right, final question. It's a two-part question. Give me the team in the Big Ten that has the best chance, in your opinion, to get to the Final Four. And then secondly, give me a sleeper team that maybe nobody's talking about right now.
Oh, you said two teams?
Give me the team that you think could get to the Final Four, and then the other part of that is which team is a sleeper team in the Big Ten that nobody's talking about that could get to the conference tournament. I mean, get to the NCAA tournament.
I got a tie for the sleeper teams. Is I'm gonna give you two. It's Michigan and Illinois. I think they're just the way they're built, man. They have the highest ceiling. They got positional size. They defend. They rebound, they make threes. Michigan gets to the free throw line. Illinois, that's one of their weaknesses. They get a little three happy. But, you know, you add in, you got a 6'6 point guard. Michigan has a 7-foot point forward. I think they're just the most well-rounded teams. Purdue, obviously, in there, because Braden Smith, to me, is the best college basketball player in the country. But in terms of a sleeper team, I like Maryland all year long, man. Their depth is a little, you know, I don't know if they have the depth. When you take Derrick Queen, he's probably one of the more under-talked about freshmen in the country, and Jacoby Gillespie, the way he can score and make big shots, they're really athletic. Tafar Gakare is off the bench. He's an NBA athlete. And then they rebound the basketball as well. So I think Maryland's one of those teams. I thought they were going to be in the top four at the start of the season. They were making me look like Stephen A. Smith, someone didn't know, you know, just rambling on TV at some point. But they went on a little run, and now they're, you know, in that top five. But I think, you know, between Rodney Rice, Jacoby Gillespie, they got guard play, they got size. Derrick Queen is unbelievable. So Maryland's probably my sleeper team in terms of a Final Four.
Hey, Jordan, great job, man. Pleasure to have you on the show. Let's do it again sometime. And safe travels back to Minneapolis this evening.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. That's Jordan Taylor joining us here from the Big Ten Network. That was outstanding. He was unbelievable. That was great. We're going to have to do that again. With Jordan Taylor from the Big Ten Network. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to Bite of the Night. That's next here on The Lick Show. All right, the Bite of the Night is something that I got to give credit to producer Chris Tubbs. He came across earlier, and he's going to set this up. You will at times, and there's a difference between radio and television, okay? On television, people are more mild-mannered for the most part.
You have to be.
On the radio, though, and you guys listen to the show enough, I get after some people. Like, y'all know that. Like,
get a little loose with the lips.
With guests, because I've gotten after guests that I've disagreed with, I clearly will get after callers that are on the other side of an opinion. Mm-hmm. I get that, because sometimes you guys are on the other side of opinion, and you come at me, and I come at you back.
That's just how it works.
Same energy. Well, television-wise, though, it's a different medium, right? It's different. It's a different presentation and all of that. That's part of it. But Anderson Cooper, in the midst of getting a little bit frustrated with somebody on television, tell the listening audience a little bit about what you saw.
Yeah, and, you know, last night, Anderson Cooper, who, you know, is on CNN right now, does a lot of different things, really well known. I first remember him from hosting The Mole back on ABC back in the day. Well, last night he lost his cool with former New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, and he flat out told the Trump defending Republican, don't be a
private. Yeah.
Don't be a wiener.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he didn't say that word. Now, it came out during a panel discussion when they were talking about Elon Musk's Oval Office press conference, when he was alongside the president, during which he listed purportedly a wasteful government spending by his non-official Department of Government Efficiency. So Sununu praised Musk, and Cooper contended that no actual evidence was given to back up those claims. And as the exchange started to fray, Cooper told Sununu not to put words in my mouth, and then don't be a wiener,
mm-hmm.
to put it. And here's how the whole thing went down on CNN last night.
But where's the
again,
proof?
You're not going to be satisfied till he shows up with 10,000 pages.
He's giving very specific things, but he's not actually giving any evidence of that.
It's all going to come because what they also said was, if we have to go to Congress, we'll go to Congress.
Right, but
we'll show where
some of the details that have come out, like the $59 million spent on luxury hotels, it's actually not.
You're talking about the FEMA money that was abused for migrants. That was.
Yeah.
FEMA money for migrants, that's okay now?
No, I'm not saying it's okay. Don't put words in my mouth.
So would you stop that? Stop that process?
Don't be a what I'm saying is the portrayal by him is.
All right, so that was the exchange. And look, Anderson Cooper, I've seen him get fiery at times. And that was a time in which he got a little bit fiery.
Yeah, my wife would call it ornery. He got ornery with him. And that isn't about politics. We're not talking about the Elon Musk, everything, did he, didn't he? The whole point about that was sometimes when somebody is talking to you and they're coming at you in a way that you don't really have the opportunity to clarify,
mm-hmm.
you kind of snap back, but I've never heard anybody on television say, don't be a wiener. I've never heard anybody clap back like that. And it kind of shocked me.
Well, it was Anderson Cooper too.
It was, which
and that's part of it.
Which doesn't surprise me because it's Anderson Cooper.
It kind of surprised you a little bit though. Right?
I think it more surprises me that you reach a boiling point because there are a lot of people that when they reach their boiling point in this job, you can't just say, knock it off. You can't say that. You have to be very polite. And last night, Anderson Cooper, I think he just had enough of
it. Depends on who you are, though. Some people, like, I got to be honest, I'm not into playing games at a certain point. Mm-hmm. Like, when people get very weird and they want to lie about things and they want to promote stuff that just, it's not true. It's not, at that particular point, I'm like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. We're not having this conversation. I like it when people on shows, like when Mehdi Hasan was on and he was like, hey, you know what? We're just going to cut this interview short because you're clearly lying. We're not doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm not into that.
Yeah. And I think people today think that, well, there's got to be a both sides to everything.
No.
There's not a both sides to everything.
Not when people are lying.
You can't. Like, a lie is a lie.
Yep.
And just because you don't like it and you get upset about it,
it doesn't mean that we have to owe you the time to come on here and promote foolishness.
Yeah,
and
it's like, well, stop talking about something. Well, if they stop lying and stop saying ridiculous things,
yep.
then you stop talking about it. When you see something like that is objectively and factually false, you have an obligation
yep.
to let people know that is objectively and subjectively factually false.
Coming up next, Fox 9 news anchor Randy Meyer, the weekly check-in with our Fox 9 news anchors. Randy Meyer, he joins us next year on The Lake Show. All right, we are eagerly awaiting the arrival of Fox 9 news anchor Randy Meyer.
I think I know what the issue is.
What?
I think the very fact that we've got a liner with him saying this is sucking wind, maybe that's a line of contention. Maybe that's a point.
No, I don't think that's it at all.
You don't think that's it?
No, he's been on the show way too many times. I think that maybe he's just kind of forgotten about us tonight.
Hey, big time in you.
Kelsey Carlson is probably tied up doing something at Fox 9. So we'll see. Hopefully Randy will call us in the next few minutes. We'll We love having them. We love having Kelsey as well. I think they're a great duo. I love working with them at Fox 9 and doing stuff. Well, this weekend I'll be with Ahmad Hicks on Sunday evening. We'll talk some NBA basketball. We'll talk some Wolves as we head into the All-Star break. By the way, the Wolves tonight facing Milwaukee without Giannis.
Yep.
And they've got a back-to-back because they face OKC tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's tough.
And then coming out of the All-Star break, oh, hello, OKC.
OKC again.
Back-to-back.
Back-to-back, which is weird. So just to kind of explain it, okay, and hopefully we'll get Randy here in the next couple of minutes. If not, then we'll just kind of move on and we'll get to our headlines at 7:45. But this is a weird kind of a situation here. So tonight the Wolves face the Bucks. Okay? Now, tomorrow the Wolves at Target Center will face OKC. Okay? Then you head into the All-Star break. But then you have the time off from the All-Star break, and then you're facing OKC next Sunday at home.
Yep.
And then the very next night, you face OKC again in OKC. That's always been kind of a weird dynamic to me when you do the home and away back-to-back.
Back-to-back, yeah. Yeah, it is.
This, I mean, do both teams fly on the same jet?
They might as well. I mean, hey, if our fuel is expensive, think about what it's like for these, you know, for these jets that these players are on. I mean, that can't, you know, that can't be cheap. And not to make
we talk about government waste.
Yeah, yes, yes, exactly. Hey, not to make a bad situation even worse for the Timberwolves, who are down by 12 at the end of the first quarter.
What?
But you said it's without Giannis. It's also without Dame.
Wait, say it again?
No Dame tonight.
Ooh, okay.
No Dame, no Giannis. And
wait, Dame didn't play at all?
No, Dame's not playing tonight.
Wow. That's not good.
No.
See, and this is what's so funny. I think my dad jinxed it. So my father is at the game tonight, and Randy's going to call us here in a second.
Okay.
My dad jinxed it, okay? I'm firmly believing that because my dad's at the game, and he said to me earlier, oh, with no Giannis, the Wolves should win. I'm like, Dad, that's not how it works. The Wolves will throw you off. The Wolves will play worse than you expect them to play when they're facing an opponent that's got people that are hurt. And clearly, we're down 14 right now, and it's not been good.
I mean, it's kind of par for the course with a Minnesota team, right? Playing down to the level of their competition. Because we're talking about how difficult of a schedule this is. But then I was thinking, okay, yeah, Giannis is out through the All-Star break, not going to play in the All-Star game because of that calf issue. Okay, you're going to get, you know, because I think every team in the NBA is playing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think every team is active. But then, yeah, when you're talking about a back-to-back and you're not dealing with Dame or Giannis.
I know. The expectations with that particular situation are that the Wolves will jump on the opponent, take advantage of the opportunity, and this is so weird how that's not how the Timberwolves operate. The Timberwolves don't operate in that way. They should be a team that should jump on the opponent, but when the opponent's struggling or they're hobbled, we just find a way to kind of fall behind. There he is. There's Randy Meyer, Fox 9 News anchor, joining us here on The Lake Show. It sounds like you're grabbing some dinner, man. What's for dinner?
Tonight?
Yes.
We went to Zupa's, and I got some soup and a brisket sandwich.
What did you get me?
I will get you whatever you want because I'm late, so I owe you.
That's the reason why I asked you. I was like, hold on, I'm hungry too, and you're late arriving here. No, it's all good. It's all good, man. How you been?
I'm good. I'm good. Getting ready to head to California tomorrow.
Oh, really? So tell me a little bit about that. What's going on in California? What part of California are you headed to?
Flying into Los Angeles, and my wife and I decided about a month ago that we wanted to go see. I'm a tree guy. I love trees, right?
Okay.
Maybe I shared that before. I want to go see the giant sequoias. Mm. And she wanted to see the monarch butterflies where they winter.
Okay.
So we conceived of this trip where we'd fly into Los Angeles. We go up the coast a little bit and see the butterflies. And then we would do an about face and head to Sequoia National Forest. And if we had time, then we'd zip over to Yosemite. We've rented an Airbnb in a little town called Three Rivers. But Ian Leonard is destroying this vacation for us.
Uh-oh. What's the problem now?
Well, there's torrential, copious amounts of rain coming in off the ocean. So when we land, it'll be raining very hard. They're supposed to get 2 to 3 inches of rain where we're going.
Yeah, and tomorrow and they're supposed to get 12 hours worth of rain, according to a national broadcast. Yeah. I heard earlier. Yep.
And that, according to Ian, is accurate. But the mountains where the parks are, Ian said as of last night, 61 inches of snow.
Oh boy.
So it's put a little bit of a crimp in our style. But we're going to go. We're going to make it an adventure and just see what happens.
That's the way to do it, man. You can't complain about it now, right? You just got to deal with what you're going to be dealing with.
We got to go. And top it all off, you know, trees are one thing. My wife, the butterflies aren't where they're supposed to be. So instead of, say, 10,000 of them hanging on trees, there was 173.
Yeah. No, I hear you. By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and put it in my phone now. Zupas on Randy Meyer in the future.
Yep.
I love that Zupas in Eden Prairie, by the way. It's right over there by that Rusty Taco and all that. Yeah, I used to live literally right over by there because that's right by the Lifetime flagship.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Very close to that. And then, of course, the new light rail, the ending point for the light rail is right there, will be right there when it's all said and done.
Yep. Hey, what is the thing that Randy Meyer looks to that kind of signifies the end of the harsh winter that typically we have in Minnesota? Because for me, whenever the Twins head off to spring training, I know that it's not warm here at that particular time, but then my mind kind of goes into a different realm. It gets to a point of, okay, the end is near.
Yeah, that's an easy one for me because it's been brutal the last couple of winters in terms of. So as soon as it usually happens around the third week of February, where the cross country ski trails and the snowmobile trails up north are not able to accommodate the sleds and the skis anymore.
Mm.
It the snow falls and it melts so quickly, and it's like you got to put the stuff away.
Yeah.
You put that away and you get out the golf clubs.
I hear you on that. Well, it's funny because a little bit earlier, I text my buddy Ben Pop. He's the executive director of the Berkey, and I'm checking in with him, and I'm like, hey, how are things looking for next week? Because next week is the Berkey Miner, and I'm hoping that things will go over well for them. Now, I don't think that they're going to necessarily get much or any more snow, but I think temperature-wise, it's going to be good enough for them to be able to pull it off successfully.
You're so right on that. I actually just checked on that this morning as well. Yeah, I mean, obviously this week is going to be brutally cold with the exception of Friday. But all next week, as far out as we can see, through Wednesday, single-digit temperatures, nighttime lows well below zero. And up there, typically you're talking about at least 5 degrees colder than what we have down here. I think they might get 1 to 3 inches on that Friday night, Saturday thing, but they got a good, I was up there last weekend and we got a good 7 inches last weekend up there on top of probably 5 that we had. So there's a foot like at my cabin.
Yep.
So I think they'll be fine. They're certainly better than they've been the last couple of years.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, we're talking to Fox 9 News anchor Randy Meyer here on The Lake Show, News Talk, 830 WCCO. All right, Randy, give us what some of the top headlines will be this evening that you guys will look at on the Fox 9 News.
All right, a couple things. Marvin Haynes, the wrongly accused Minneapolis man, spent 19 years in prison, was released. He is now seeking compensation from the state of Minnesota, $100,000 per year. He was incarcerated. Essentially, you can round it up to $1 million, $2 million if everything goes his way. And so we've got sort of the details on that. We talked to him today, and he talks about what his future holds, how he would like to become a real key player in getting some of these youngsters that are clearly headed down the wrong path. He'd like to get some mentor, uh, like a really solid mentoring program put in place.
Yep.
So he talks about that, and it's good to catch up with him from time to time because he's been very active since leaving prison. So it's good to see what he's been up to, and you know, I think by all measures, he certainly will be due a sum of money that that he wants to work with.
Yeah.
And so we're going to look at that. We also talked, I don't know if you were following this yesterday, you know that there was this burglary, kind of this brazen burglary string that was going on.
I saw some of the video. Yeah.
Yeah. So that video, you saw the suspects shoot up to a window, hit a guy in the jaw that was just looking out to see what was going on out there and shot him in the face, hit him in the jaw, and then it went through his shoulder. We tracked him down and talked to his girlfriend about the whole thing. Of course, he's in the hospital, but talked to him about how that all went down and how he's doing. And then we sent Leon Purvis up to St. Cloud to talk to – there's a professional driving service up there. Last week we had the situation with a school bus where that school bus driver – avoided a head-on semi-accident by swerving into the other lane at the last second. And there's a service up there that teaches people how to avoid catastrophic collisions. And Leon went up there, and I see he just walked into the newsroom, so he's back. We'll be doing that story as well.
Got you. Well, man, you got some good stuff on the horizon for tonight, man. I appreciate it. Hey, thanks so much for calling in and checking in with us. We'll catch the Zupas a little bit later. But more importantly, have fun in Los Angeles.
Looking forward to it. No matter what happens, it'll be fine. It'll be an adventure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Safe travels to Randy Meyer, Fox 9 News anchor, joining us here on The Lake Show. All right, so we'll break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number two, and we'll do that next. For a second there, I thought that Randy Meyer had forgot all about us. And so now I get Zupas on him. I love that.
See, you were playing the long game.
This was not a setup on my behalf.
No, I love how when you're at the end, you're like, oh yeah, the Zupas. And most importantly, have fun on vacation. No. You got to flip those two. Have fun on vacation. And most importantly, don't forget about the food you owe me.
You ever had Zupas?
I have not.
Oh, it's like...
It sounds delicious.
Well, no, it's... No, it's not fancy. It's... All it is... Texan could maybe help, I guess, give a comparison. But Zupas is salads and sandwich. It's basically like...
Just like a sandwich and a... Like
no,
a...
It's like a Panera.
Oh, okay.
It's basically like Panera, but I think it's got more options than Panera.
Okay. Yeah. I'm okay with
that. I don't know what it's based out of, but the one that he went to for dinner this evening, that's the one that I've typically went to is the Zupas in. And there's one in Maple Grove.
Okay. See,
I've been to that one once.
That's not far away from us.
The majority of the time I go to the one on Technology Drive in Eden Prairie.
Okay.
And with every time you go get a salad or whatever it is, they give you this as a part of the meal because they'll give you like a if you go order a salad, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll give you a piece of bread and they'll give you a chocolate covered strawberry.
Yeah. Okay.
So you know what I'm talking about now.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a little bit familiar with it.
You know what? Now come to think about it,
you might have been before.
I might have been there. Yeah, because my wife keeps talking. See, now that you mentioned the bread and the strawberries.
Yes. It's called Cafe Zupas Kitchen.
Yes. Yes. Because if I was to text her right now, have we been to Zupas? And she would say yes.
Well, text her. Text her right now. Okay. Text her and ask her because I like Zupas. I just haven't been in a while. I probably haven't been since last summer. So Zupas, I used to go all the time. And when I say all the time, I'm talking about like twice a week. In the year that was 2023, I probably went to Zupas twice a week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I was always getting salads there. I have not, over the course of the last few years, even though I have the app on my phone and I get the emails from Panera, I'm not really a Panera guy anymore. I used to be a Panera guy like 10 years ago. Not anymore.
See, I like the bread bowl, and I'm a big fan of the Asiago cheese bagel. Like, I will go into.
Oh, you're a Panera guy. Like, you're rattling it off right off the top of your head.
Oh, when I go in, I go in, and if I see Asiago cheese bagels, I'm like, how many you got? That's what I'll take. But if I see somebody behind me, they're like, I want an Asiago cheese bagel. I'm like, all right, I'll take everything except for one.
All right, so a food connoisseur, Josh Wheeler. And I say that because he's the type of guy that will show up at the Minnesota State Fair at the crack of dawn, and he'll stay there the entire day and eat everything on the menu. He says Zupa's is excellent, even better than Panera. Maple Grove is so good. So he just gave you a thumbs up to the – he says go to the Maple Grove.
Yeah, I bet anything because we live in northern Plymouth. So I'm betting that the one that we've been to is the Maple Grove. And she might not get back to me in the next few minutes, but I guess – if not in the next couple of minutes, the end of the segment, at the beginning of next segment, I will have an answer. But I like the soup and soup and sandwiches, soup and salad, just because of the healthiness. I'm not a big fan of like the really trans fat fried. I mean, that might shock you looking at me,
but it does shock me a lot.
I got to pull it in the gut. Is that better?
You're pulling it in.
Yeah, I am. Okay.
It's not helping though.
Okay. Well, the shirt's like in.
Because your face is still, you know.
What are you saying about my face? My face is still there. All right.
And by the way,
is this better?
The listening audience, they could take that with a grain of salt, the recommendation of Josh Wheeler, because, you know, Josh's taste, questionable.
Well, if he's telling you Zupa's is excellent and then you're saying it's questionable.
No, I say his taste is.
His taste. But he's saying that it's good.
No, I confirm Zupa's is good. I've been to the one in Maple Grove. I've been to that one, too.
Okay,
so I can confirm that, but you know Josh is kind of questionable with a lot of things.
Well, he is a Baker Mayfield guy.
That's what I'm saying. He's really questionable.
Oh, I better block that number. What's the number?
The only thing that 100% I can agree with Josh Wheeler on. The only thing in the world, because his sports takes are just not very good. I just got to be honest.
Whoa. Josh is picking up strays here.
Yeah, he's picking up strays.
You know,
tonight.
He's taking notes right now.
Well, hold on, hon. Was it Josh that I got into it with last year about the who was that was shading Kirby Puckett?
I think that was Josh.
Yeah, at the Big Ten. When we were at the Big Ten, I was like, whoa, no, you're not.
Oh, yeah.
You won't catch all. These aren't even strays, bro.
Because we were at Tom's.
Yes, we were at Tom's.
Yeah.
These aren't even strays. No, I'm coming at you with some heat.
Yeah.
And I got a switch on it.
Yeah. Wow.
Seriously. No, but in all seriousness, Brahms?
Yeah. Brahms is good.
Brahms is amazing.
Brahms, yeah, because
I will always show him a little bit of love just based off of that. And Josh is a great dude. Yeah. He's a really good
Brahms
dude.
Brahms is fantastic.
Josh is a good dude. He knows I love him.
Plus, he's a wrestling guy. So, I mean, you can't hold that against him. I don't know if
that's why you love them, because you're both wrestling guys.
Yeah, that's the only reason. That's the only reason.
I don't have that in common with you guys. Shocker.
Aren't you lucky?
Parents are pushing back on schools wanting to enforce cell phone rules? That's a talker. We must discuss it. We get to it next year on The Lake Show.